Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do, do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then, ironically, it goes into the family. And just an interesting passage of scripture here. We start off by saying, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it what? Heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I love verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message tonight. I pray, Jesus Christ, you'll be glorified in what we do this evening. I believe already you've been glorified. I trust that the message will be to not just to edify a message, but to edify Jesus Christ and the people here. Bless us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Why'd you come to church today? Because you're expected to? Or was it for the Lord? Why did you give your tithe and the offering? Is because you don't want to be cursed by God? You don't want to have issues with the Lord? Or because you just love tithing? It's for the Lord. Why did you give offerings? Why did you give your faith promise? Is it for the Lord? You know, why did you run your bus route or teach your Sunday school class this morning? Was it because you were expected to? And I'm not bragging or boasting at all about myself or anything like that. There are times that I've gotten up on a Sunday morning and wondered, boy, wish I could go golfing today. But you know, you got to stop and think. You got to do it at church. By the time you get to church, you hope that your heart's right. And you hope that, you know what, this is not just for me. It's not just even for the kids. It's for the Lord. This is for the Lord. What we do for the Lord is eternal. What we do for ourselves is earthly. It's burned up. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And here, why do we give to missionaries? Is it for the Lord or is it for ourselves? You know, if this church were to, Brother Han, if this church were to disappear today, I'm talking every brick gone, every person gone, would this community even notice? It would notice. If it had been for the Lord, because they would have been blessed and they would be missing blessings. But if it was a church that's just filled for itself and just for its own pleasure and just for its own people, they wouldn't care. I believe there are a lot of churches in this country, if they dried up and blowed away, that the community wouldn't even blink an eye, would wonder, you know, oh, yeah, where are they? But there are some churches, if they weren't there, the community would miss them heartily and would be broken heart because little kids were blessed on Sunday morning by getting somebody in church that told them they loved them. And people being saved. I have a friend whose name is Michael Bolt. And up from New Jersey. And I preached for him several years ago. And he picked me up from the airport. And we got to his church. And we went into his office. And we came out of his office. I happened to see the front vanity plate on the front of his car. Now, standing there trying to read, how many of you like reading vanity plates? I do. I think they're kind of cool most of the time. Some are pretty stupid, but I was reading it, and he's standing there staring at me, waiting for me to get it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm not getting it. And he says, do you get it? And I said, Mike, I don't. He said, sound it out. Say it. I said, it said F-O-D-O-L-O, all right? And I can't spell. I went to college. And he said, say it. I said, fo-da-lo. And I says, I'm not getting it, Mike. He says, come on, say it again. I said, all right, fo-da-lo. And he said, man, isn't that awesome? I said, Mike, it's not awesome because it's stupid. I don't get it. He said, say it fast. And I said, fo-da-lo. He said, now you got it. I said, no, I don't, Mike. What is that? He said, phonolo, for the Lord. I said, that's ghetto. It doesn't say for the Lord. He said, I know, but man, our kids, we don't have a Christian school, and our kids go to public school, and we have phonolo t-shirts. I said, are you kidding me? He says, oh, no. We got a whole line of clothing that says faux de l'eau. And everybody, the kids walk up to other kids at school with faux de l'eau on it, and they say, what's that? Faux de the Lord. And we get to witness, and we've got hundreds of kids in our public school. I coach our high school basketball team, and I give out wristbands that say faux de l'eau. And I got t-shirts, and I got hats. I've got a patent clothing line that says, that's faux de l'eau clothing line. I said, are you out of your mind? He said, Brother Eddie, it works. It's for the Lord. I said, why don't you just say it? You don't got to be ghetto about it. But you know, I've never forgotten that. Here's a guy that's willing to walk into his public school and wear clothes that state what they're all about. And everything that we ought to do, everything that we do ought to be faux de l'eau. You're wanting to say it right now, aren't you? You're sitting there thinking, you're sounding it in your head. Faux de l'eau. When I get out of here, I'm going to shout it, see how it sounds. Everybody say it. Ready? Faux de l'eau. See, you're ghetto. Thank you. I feel like I'm back in Chicago. And for the Lord. Isn't that how we ought to live? Isn't that what we ought to be about? Man, I love being around believers, and I'd much rather be with people than not. And I enjoy being around church, and I enjoy going to church. I miss church on Sundays. I really do. I miss being in my own Sunday school class this morning. I enjoy the fellow Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ. But going to church is not just for fellowship, though I love all that. It's for the Lord. Amen. Showing your faith in God. Running that bus route, I had a college student text me yesterday and said, Brother Lapina, you know, can you drive my bus in Chicago on a certain date, 2 weeks here in October for the fall program? And I thought, you know, I don't really want to drive a bus on a Sunday morning and may not get back in time for my Sunday school class. And you know, I'm thinking of all these reasons why I shouldn't do it. You know what? Got kicked in the head by my own shoe, and I said, you know what? God would want me to. And I don't need to do it for myself, but I do need to do it for the Lord. I do need to do it for Him. And when you live the Christian life and you put your tithe in the offering plate, you ought to say, God, I'm glad. I'm glad you gave me a job. I'm glad you gave me the money to give 10% back to you. I'm thankful that I get to support your ministry. I'm glad I get to serve you. To live a life that's just for myself, a life that's just for the temporal things. And boy, you see it all the time. And I was watching a little bit this afternoon, American Pickers. How many ever watch that? And don't you just want to strangle some of them guys? You know, they've had this bicycle in their barn for 43 years. And will you sell it? No, I can't part with it. Do you didn't even know it was there? Man, they uncovered it. And people want to gather all these earthly things and want to take it with them, and they can't take it with them. It's kind of like the man starts selling all his stocks and bonds and took all of his wealth. And his wife says, what are you doing? He says, well, I figure in the next few years I'm going to die. And he started putting it, he's put it all together. He goes, I'm going to put this in the attic. And when I die, I figure I'm going to die in this house. And when I go to heaven, I'm going to grab it and take it with me. Well, sure enough, a few years later, he died. Had his funeral, and his wife's back in the house after the funeral, and she gets to thinking about that stuff in the attic. She says, well, I wonder. And so she ran up there, and she looked, and sure enough, it was all there, all the money, all the stocks and bonds. And she says, boy, that old fool, I knew he should have put it in the basement. And you can't take it with you, right? But do we live for the Lord? Number one, let me give you a couple thoughts. The works that I do should be for the Lord. And James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We used to have a youth center down the street from our church. The address was 700 Sibley, and it was a big building, and that's where I grew up as a teenager. And then when I became a youth pastor, I was in charge of that building. And it was a good-sized building. We held Sunday school there. We had banquets there. We had youth activities there. And we had all-nighters there and Sunday school, soul winning. It was just, that was the hub of our youth program. And we sold that building, and we moved everything down to the regular church property. And I was driving by that building, and I was watching another church that was going into it, using it, and I sat out in that parking lot, Brother Hahn, and I thought of all the hours, thousands of hours that I put into that building, all the soul-winning ministries, all the banquets, all the conference planning and things, and I wondered, does anybody in that building even care what I did? All the work that I did, they don't even know. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, folks. You know what? 75 years from now, no one in this church will know who you were. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? Your name may be on a wall, it may be on a plaque or in a building, but nobody's even going to know who that person is. How many times do you go past a building? I got college students that really don't know who Jack Hiles is. You bring up John R. Rice, and they'll say, yeah, you know, I've heard of him. And the truth is, you know what, if my works, listen to me, my works are supposed to be for the Lord if they're going to be remembered. If they're going to be worth anything and remembered, you know, someone else will do your job one day. Someone else will teach your Sunday school class. Someone else will run your bus route. You're wondering, I wish they would do it right now, right? And someone else will be helped or help other people in your church. But you know, the work that you do will be for the Lord. My wife and I get to travel every summer with a tour group from Hiles Anderson. We get to be in a lot of churches, Brother Hahn, and it's a real blessing. There are many churches this size, but many churches that we go to run 50, 75, 100, some smaller. Church up in northern part of Wisconsin runs about 40, and pastor and his wife have been there well over 25 years, serving the Lord, working two jobs, plus pastoring the church in a real small community. And I got to thinking about God looking at those people and their faithfulness, because everything that they're doing, they're not getting fame, they're not getting glory, they're just literally pastoring a small church, but they're doing it for the Lord. The works that they're doing are not so that they can drive a big fancy car, but they're doing it for the Lord. Amen. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll see the work that we did, and it'll be clarified as to whether we did it for ourselves or for the Lord. Remember at Brother Hiles, my former pastor's funeral, his sister Earlene was there, and I sat down, put my arm around her and hugged her and said, I sure did love your brother and loved working for him. And she says, Eddie, let me just tell you a quick story. Brother Hiles came a few weeks ago after having a meeting out at the college with the college girls, and he gave them a bunch of gifts and had a lot of fun and so forth. And he came by my house, and we had a glass of orange juice. And he was telling me all the things that he did with the college kids there and how much fun he was having. And I looked at him, and she said, I looked at my brother, and I said, Jack, I believe those kids are just using you. And he said, Earlene, isn't it great being used? Isn't it great being used? You don't mind getting used, and you don't mind getting abused as long as it's for the Lord. When you get offended, it's because it was for you. When you get hurt, it shows that it was for you. When it's for the Lord, you know what? You give it to Him. We challenge sometimes our worth by our work. And our work won't last if it's not for the Lord. Number two, the love that I give should be for the Lord. The love that I give should be for the Lord. How many times, Pastor, have you helped somebody? Have you just gone the extra mile financially? You've helped them, and all of a sudden they decide, Pastor, we just don't get you, and we're going to another church. And I got to be honest with you, as a pastor, assistant pastor in a church, and as a youth pastor, that's very tough. When you poured your soul, and it's what we do, and we're glad to do it, pour your soul and you fall in love with people and you want to help them and you give your time and your effort, and all of a sudden the slightest little thing sets them off and now they're off into another church. You wonder sometimes, what's the worth? What's the use? But the pastor that sticks around and stays around a long time, he's the one that's learned to do it for the Lord, not for himself. In my early days as a youth pastor, I'd had some issues like that, and to where I'd had some young people that I'd just gone the extra mile with and spent time counseling with and really paid, put money on them, and it just wasn't working, and I just got really discouraged. And I went to Brother Hiles and I said, you know what, Brother Hiles, I said, I don't get this. And he was kind to me. And he says, Eddie, he said, that'll be literally what will happen the rest of your life. You've got to put your life and your effort into those that will allow you to do so, realizing that everything is for God. Everything is for him. Your love on somebody who literally wastes your love to them, that love is not wasted if you did it for the Lord. When you've helped that bus kid, you've helped that Sunday school class, you've gone to camp, you've gone to the extra mile to run the activities for them, and you know what? Even if they don't turn out right, even if they don't turn out to please the Lord, you have pleased the Lord. And you've given to the Lord. We challenge our worth sometimes as Christian school teachers and Christian workers by those we help and serve. We feel like failures when they don't turn out for the Lord like they should, and they turn from God into sin. But God keeps a record book. God keeps the tally. And number three, the praise that I seek should be for the Lord. And I word it rightly because we all do seek praise. There's nothing wrong with getting a pat on the back. It feels good, doesn't it? Sister sang a few moments ago. I was blessed by it. I think she felt good. The fact that we were blessed by it. Every amen makes you feel good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're doing it just because there is praise, if you do it just because there are accolades, then you're at the mercy of men to find your worth. And if I may, I don't want to be at the mercy of men to find my worth. I want to find my worth in Christ. I want God to tell me my worth. You got to be careful. The works that I do should be for the Lord, James, or the praise that I seek should be for the Lord. How many of you know who Bob Thomas was? A place kicker for the Chicago Bears. You don't, okay? All right, good. Bob Thomas was a phenomenal place kicker. Just before the 1985 season when the Bears went to the Super Bowl, Bob Thomas was cut from the team. I went and heard him speak at a gathering in Illinois, and Bob Thomas is a Supreme Court Justice for the state of Illinois now, a devout Christian, and gave just an unbelievable testimony and just an excellent, excellent message that he gave. And so pleased to hear it. But he told the story how that just at the beginning of that, just before training camp of that 85 season, Mike Ditka called him into his office and said, Bob, we're going to have to let you go this season. We appreciate your work. And he said, I was devastated because we all knew we had a winning team and we had a great chance to go to the Super Bowl. And he said, I was devastated. I walked out just stunned and dazed and out in the locker room. As I walked through the locker room, I can't think of it now, running back for the Bears back then. Walter Payton, thank you. Walter Payton was sitting there, and Walter Payton said, hey, Bob, he says, I kind of overheard what was going on. I just want to tell you it was the greatest joy of my life to play football with you on my team. He sat with me for over an hour and just talked with me. And he goes, and it meant a lot that he thought highly of me. He said, but my career was over. Bears went on to win the Super Bowl. And I went off into and got my law degree, and now I'm Supreme Court Justice. He said the other day, I took my boys into a sports memorabilia store. He goes, immediately I went to the football section, my boys went to the basketball section. And all of a sudden, sure enough, there was my rookie card on the wall. I called my boys over. I said, guys, look, there I am right there. And they began to laugh. And I said, son, what's so funny? He said, Dad, look next to it. And there it said, you know, $3. And he said, well, boys, that's just what it costs. It's $3. That's what it's worth. They said, no, Dad, look at right next to the $3. See that yellow sticker? He said, yeah. He said, that means it's half off. He said, 10 years in the NFL and I was worth $1.50. $1.50. And to the world, that's what you're worth. But to the Lord, you're worth eternity. You're worth everything. You are worth Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for you. You're worth God sending his only begotten Son to die for you. That's what you are worth to God. So everything that you do, the praise that you get should be for the Lord, not for yourself. We often measure our worth and by the thanks and praise that we receive from others. I'll stay in church until someone, you know, notices me. And if I'm not noticed this Sunday, I'm not coming back. How many times do you hear that? You know what? I'll teach my Sunday school class, but I'll tell you what, if I got one more young person that gives me grief, I'm out of there. You know, why does the pastor recognize somebody else? You know, I've been teaching there longer. And if you're at my mercy, you're at the pastor's mercy, you're at the Sunday school superintendent's mercy for your glory and for your honor, you may never get fulfilled. But if you come in here and you teach your Sunday school lesson for God and for the Lord, you will be fulfilled one day. God keeps excellent records. Excellent records. And last, the salvation, I trust, should be for the Lord. The salvation, I trust, should be for the Lord. So what do you mean by that, Brother Lapina? Well, as a little child, many of us got saved at the age 4 or 5, and we understood what heaven and hell was, and we realized we were sinners, and it's been a joy to watch a child come into that zone to where they really understand heaven and hell, and the Holy Spirit convicts their heart, and they get saved. And to a small child, if you listen carefully now, to a small child, they're getting saved, one, because they don't want to go to hell. And if I may, that's good enough reason. But for you and I, that we've come to church and we've read our Bibles and we've read them through many times, memorized scripture, and we've memorized songs, and we've heard thousands of sermons preached, you know what? Our salvation ought to be more than that. Not just be for the joy of not going to hell. It ought to be for the Lord. Amen. The reason I'm saved is so I get to spend time with God, so I can go to heaven one day, not so I can walk on streets and gold. Those things will be great and wonderful, but I'll get to be with Jesus. I'll get to honor him for all eternity face to face. It ought to be for the Lord. We ask, what will trusting Christ do for me? What do I get out of it? The question ought to be, what does God get from it? What does God get from my salvation? I've often thought on Saturday nights, we have a men's prayer meeting, and nearly every Saturday night, the thought goes to my mind, God, why would you listen to me? Why would you hear my prayer requests? Millions and billions of people around the world praying to you right now. Why are my requests so important to you? Are they? We got to understand that, you know what? It's important to God. What we do is important to God. And my Christianity is not just so Eddie Lapina can go to heaven one day. It's so that God can be glorified, so that Jesus Christ can be glorified in the word and deed that I do. I'm not getting to heaven because of my works. I'm not getting to heaven because I teach a Sunday school class. I'm not getting to heaven because I tithe or give offerings. I'm getting to heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now I get to go to heaven, and I get to serve God and bring others with me. That salvation that I trust should be for the Lord. I watched a man, there's a man, dear friend of mine, in Michigan right this very day, over 40 years. This man's dear wife has prayed for Lee to get saved. We've had gone up to their church and had singers that they've kept in their home, and they would all sit around the table, and the lady, she would pray for the dinner, and even with guests in the house, she would pray. And at the end of every prayer for over 40 years, she would end her prayer, and I pray that Lee gets saved. I've seen him as he's come to church on occasion while I was preaching, and excuse me, and I remember one sermon in particular, Lee just holding on to the top of the pew and just gripping it like that. And I walked back to him, the invitation. I said, Lee, why don't you trust Christ today? And his words, Eddie, don't do this to me. And something happened in his early life that got him bitter towards the things of God, but his wife remained faithful to the Lord and remained faithful to their church and involved, and Lee would bring her every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and drop her off. She was very arthritic and just passed away a few months ago. Lee's been coming to church regularly ever since, but he's not gotten saved. Problem is, Lee thinks salvation is just for him, but it's not for him, it's for the Lord. He shouldn't get saved so that he can get out of hell. He should get saved so he can have an eternity with God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, your salvation that you live today ought to be so that others can be saved. You ought to carry tracts in your pocket. You ought to give them out. You ought to go soul winning your Thursday night and your Saturday, not because the pastor expects you or your wife expects you, so that you can use your salvation for the Lord. For the Lord. The closer your relationship grows to the Lord, it'll be easier to live for the Lord. But when you live a selfish life, wanting everything for yourself, God doesn't get much of the credit. In 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'll quit with this story. Many of you may not know, and only old-timers may know if you really know football real well, but Jerry Kramer played for the Green Bay Packers in 1967. It was the National Football League Championship that was being played in Green Bay. If you've ever been to Green Bay, it's cold in the summertime. But this day, it was 15 degrees below zero. It was against the Dallas Cowboys. It's called, affectionately called, the Ice Bowl. 13 seconds to go with no timeouts at the one-yard line of the Cowboys. Bart Starr called a 31-wedge play in the huddle, which calls for the fullback to get the ball. However, after conferring with Vince Lombardi, Starr decided to keep the ball because of the slippery, icy conditions near the goal line. Kramer had made his block and opened the hole for Starr to go through. Green Bay won 21-17. The story is told that as the place was erupting in just great excitement, Bart Starr was lifted on everyone's shoulders as the hero of the game. And Kramer did all the work. Kramer opened the hole. As Kramer was standing there at the goal line watching the quarterback get all the accolades, he was thinking in his own heart, we wouldn't have won if I hadn't opened the hole. And then all of a sudden he looked over at the sideline. He saw Vince Lombardi look at him. And their eyes met, and Lombardi looked at him and went just like this. He said, that's all I needed. All I needed was for my coach to go. You know, you may think that no one saw you teach your Sunday school lesson or even cared if you did. But God looked down this morning and went, you may have gotten off your bus route this morning. Think, you know, I wonder how much longer I ought to drive this bus. God looked down and went, hey, well done. You did it for me. May preach a message sometime, preacher, and wonder if anybody has ever heard it, even listened this morning. God looks down and says, hey, preacher, well done. I'm proud of you. You may have gave some extra money in the offering that was great sacrifice to you. Nobody in the church knows what you gave. God looks down and says, I saw that. I saw that. Because you did it for me. You did it for me. You know, when we sing songs about the cross and we're faithful to Jesus Christ, God looks down at each and every one of us. Hey, you did it for the low. For the low. I don't think God talks ghetto, but you understand what I'm saying. Is your life being lived for you? Do you come to church to glorify in yourself? Or is it for the low? Will you bow your head and close your eyes?